So we're in the middle of a sermon series about film, looking at movies and then connecting them to scripture and to the Christian life. The reason I do this is that humans are storytelling people. We can't help it. Scripture is a group of stories that communicate identity and value and like what does it mean to live a good life? How does one connect to God? These are stories that have such power through hundreds and hundreds of years, right? They continue to inspire. But I think the most powerful storytelling medium now is television and film, right? These are the primary way we engage stories. Well, it seems like an important skill for Christians to be able to engage film from a Christian, you know, using a Christian lens. Like how can we exegete this? How can we interpret this? How can we see and experience this film in ways that might help us grow? And so that's what we're doing. Sometimes I use really weird, obscure movies, and sometimes I use really straightforward ones, right? So this is A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the movie about Fred Rogers. It's about as straightforward as you can get if you've watched the film. I don't have to do a lot. This is not like The Matrix. No one's waking up in a tub of goo from an alternate reality. This is like just a wonderful man and his life. But I do want to mine his life a little bit in ways that might be beneficial and maybe not quite on the surface. But I want to start by talking about a woman named Teresa of Lisieux. She was French. She lived in the late 1800s and wanted to be a nun very early on. So as a teenager, she entered a convent with the goal, pretty small here, right? With the goal of becoming a saint. No big deal. Just had to perform a few miracles, you know, live a exemplary life, and at someday have sainthood. So that was what she wanted. She pursued holiness diligently, and she came to realize over time how futile her attempts were to do something glorious for God. Like this idea that somehow she could change the world and do something large continued to fill her with despair because she couldn't. And so this feeling of defeat caused her to move in a different direction. And she began simply, in her mind, maybe my greatness will be in how much I need God for each step, for each thing, that my smallness, my inability, my weakness will highlight God's strength. And so she patterned what has been called now the little way. She's actually written a book, if you are interested. She wrote one book about her life. I'm trying to find the title here. It's called Story of a Soul. Story of a Soul. And she outlines these small things that she would try to do each day, these small acts of love and obedience, recognizing how inept, how incompetent, how incapable she was of holiness without God, without grace, without the Holy Spirit. But her life and her book were so impactful that she did become a saint. So she's known as Saint Teresa now, and her little way has inspired more people than almost, I mean, she's probably the second most popular saint to Saint Francis of Assisi, right? She died when she was 24 years old of tuberculosis. I mean, nothing about her life would you say was dynamic or miraculous or life-altering. And yet, it was, because she decided to love in small ways every day, right? She talked about, all I do is plant little flowers each day, and hopefully God will make them grow, right? It's like this beautiful way of just, what's the next tiny right thing I might be able to do with love, with hope, and with grace? So the little way of Saint Teresa is what I think about every time I read about or hear about or watch Fred Rogers. This is what I picture. Her little daily acts. So I'm going to read a quote from her book. She writes, "Love proves itself by deeds. So how am I to show my love? Great deeds are forbidden me. The only way I can prove my love is by scattering flowers, and these flowers are every little sacrifice, every glance, every smile, and word, and the doing of the least actions of love." Those are the words of St. Teresa, and that's Fred Rogers. So if you've ever seen him, right, so I've watched YouTube clips now, Kel and I joke that during COVID, during quarantine, we're getting our certificates in different things, right? So like, you know, Kel decided to do a deep dive, in like Escaping Art Kelly, which is like a horrible story, but it's like about how do we empower young women to not have this happen to them, right? So she's like deep diving. We's like, you got your certificate in Art Kelly, right? So I've gotten my certificate in Fred Rogers. I'm like YouTubing him. I'm like reading articles about the guy. I have just been totally inspired. But there's not one thing that he did, not one great moment, nothing that would be heroic. He's just this man who moves slow and talks, for me, maddeningly slow. Like, let's speed it up, right? He is cheesy. He like gets down on one knee so he can look at a child in the eye and say like, "You're special." And it's like, what in the world, right? It almost feels fake. It feels like so foreign to be that kind, to move that slow, to look each person in the eye. But this is what he does. What's the most important thing I'm doing right now? Talking to you, right? This is his way. So the show could never finish on time because he was always running late because he'd be talking to a family or to a child with disabilities, or right, and he just like wouldn't stop. Like, they're going to get 45 minutes of my time. And they're trying to get they're doing a show Monday through Friday. He's not going to rush. He just won't do it. The most important thing is the person right in front of me. Just small. You are loved. You're a child of God. So this little way of St. Teresa is the little way of St. Fred, right? It's slow down. Know that the most important moment is the one that's happening right now, and the most important person is the one in front of you. And can we take a deep breath and show love and compassion in this moment? And so if you saw the movie, if you watched the fictionalized version, there's a documentary also, which is excellent, that you can see. But the movie where Tom Hanks plays Mr. Rogers, the focus is really on Lloyd Vogel. He was a writer for Esquire magazine. This is all real, right? You can read the actual article he wrote. And he got to interview Mr. Rogers. But at the time, this guy, Lloyd Vogel, was a journalist who did investigative work. So people didn't really like him. He was kind of cynical, kind of a jerk, right? So now he gets saddled with talking to maybe the nicest, cheesiest man in the world. And so initially his thought is, oh, I'm going to dig up some dirt. Like, we'll see how good Mr. Rogers really is, right? So he begins to interact with him. And at first, it's as you can imagine, he's annoyed. He doesn't believe it. You know, like, no one can be this nice. And slowly this kindness begins to chip away at his heart. And the intention of the whole film is to be an episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for adults. And it's really about this notion of forgiveness, because Lloyd Vogel, the journalist, has a horrible relationship with his father. His father abandoned he and his sister and his mom when his mom was dying of cancer. He just took off. He was cheating on her. And so this young boy who watches his father leave is filled with anger. He hates his dad. And so this begins to come up throughout the film. And what's so interesting, right, is Mr. Rogers' whole goal, the whole goal of the show was, how do we help kids find healthy ways to deal with their feelings, to deal with their emotions? Do you know how ahead of his time, how revolutionary this is? We're talking about a day and age when it was like, hey, son, don't cry. Don't let him see you hurt. Dust it off. You're fine. I don't want to hear about your emotions, right? This was not the 21st century that I live in, where much of this is understood to be an important thing. Deal with your emotions, get in touch with them, find healthy outlets for them. This was way before that. And the whole goal was, let's help kids talk about their feelings and find healthy ways to address them, right? As though adults don't need that just as much as kids. And so the movie is about recognizing adults need this too, right? I'm not good at figuring out what I'm feeling, how to address it well, how to speak it into existence and engage with it maturely. And so that's sort of like what we learn in the film is this cynical writer getting in touch with his emotions, being soft and vulnerable. So one of the most impactful moments of the movie, his father's in the hospital. He reluctantly goes. He doesn't want to be there. He hates hospitals. You can tell he's filled with anxiety. He's filled with fear. He doesn't want to go see his dad. He doesn't know what to do. He's with his wife, and she's like, look, man, you got to go in there and face your dad. And instead of recognizing his own anxiety and his own fear, he lashes out at her. He says, why can't you be on my side? He gets angry, and he says, you know what? I got to go to work. And so he takes off. He goes to see Mr. Rogers, of course, slow, steady Eddie, talks to him with his puppets. I can barely even watch these scenes. They're so uncomfortable, right? Like, are you feeling sad? It's like, it's crazy to me, right? But he begins to self-reflect in this moment where he recognizes, I'm not mad at my wife. Anger is not what I was feeling at the hospital. I was terrified. And when I feel afraid, my way of hiding it is to lash out. I'm sure none of you deal with this. None of you handle your emotions in this way, right? But the first step to changing that is actually slowing down enough to recognize what I'm feeling. What am I really feeling? So let me share with you. I watch the movie. The next day, I'm trying to help my 7-year-old read, because she can't, right? She's like trying to, like, she has sight words and she can read a little bit, and it's incredibly slow. It's very frustrating. I don't know why she can't figure out the difference between a little B and a little D. She's got her hands out, right? She's like, B, D. She can't do it. And I am like, I'm at my end of my rope. Like, Nina, we've done this before, that you know that word. And this is my tone with my 7-year-old trying to read. So she like looks at me, she's like crying, and I. So I get up and I'm like, let's just take a break. But when I slowed down enough, like to ask, why do I have this reaction? Why is this bothering me so much that she can't get it? It's because I feel incompetent. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to teach her how to read. And me feeling incompetent is not something I would like to share, because that's weak. That feels vulnerable. That feels way scarier. You know what isn't? Anger. See, anger makes me feel strong. Anger makes me feel in control. So I immediately just like lose my patience and get upset. But it has nothing to do with her. It has to do with my feelings of incompetence and insecurity. And if I can just say that, like, hey, sweetheart, this is not about you. I don't know how to help you right now, and so I'm feeling really insecure. I'm feeling really anxious. It's amazing how different that goes. But this is the genius of Fred Rogers. He helps kids and Joe Bankard figure out what it is they're feeling. There's a great line, the show used it many times, which is, when your body is hurt, you go to a hospital, but where do you go when your feelings are hurt? Where do you go then? I bottle mine up. I push them down until they find really unhealthy ways of coming out, like trying to hold beach balls underwater. Eventually, they start popping up in all kinds of unhealthy ways. And so, as cheesy as Fred Rogers is, as uncomfortable as I am with a man talking in puppet voices, it's beautiful and profound and courageous. And I have to have the courage to actually do it. In the movie, he's trying to forgive his father. And forgiveness is a really complicated thing. And many of you have people in your mind that you know you have a hard time forgiving for past hurts. And the reasons that forgiveness is hard are varied. In this particular instance, his mom died of cancer when he was young, and his father abandoned her during that time. And he felt like if he forgave his dad, it would be a betrayal of his mother. Like, if I forgive my father, it's like what he did to you, mom, was okay, and it wasn't okay. So I will never forgive him. But he has a moment in the film where he has sort of like almost like a dream-like sequence where his mother says, "You don't have to be angry for me anymore. I'm okay. Let it go." So forgiveness is complicated because the emotions that make it hard for us to forgive are not the same. And you've got to figure that out. Like, the question I ask myself over and over now is, Joe, what are you feeling right now? Why do you have this reaction inside of you to this person, to this situation? Why are you having this reaction? And if I slow myself down enough to do that, it's amazing how much more mature my response is, how much healthier. This is in part like in Scripture, the kingdom of God belongs to children who will communicate their feelings and their vulnerabilities. My kids are way better at it than I am. I'm trying to protect that in some way and preserve that because there's something beautiful in the emotions of a child. So I want to say one other thing, and then I'm going to try to see if it works. I think I can share my screen so that you can see a clip from the film. We'll see. But the last thing I want to say is this. There's a moment in the movie where the journalist is talking to Fred Rogers' wife, and he says, "What is it like being married to a living saint?" And she says, "I hate that term. Because if you call him a saint, it makes his way of being seem unattainable." And that's really what Mr. Rogers has, a way of being. It's an aura, a slowness, an intentionality, a loving kindness that comes out in his words and his glance, right? It makes it feel like that way of being is unattainable, like he was just born this way, born a saint. And she says, "He practices every day. He has a temper. He loses patience. He's not perfect. He has lots of problems. But every day he wakes up and he prays. And every day he responds to his mail. He responded to every piece of mail he received. Every day he swims to get out some of his anxiety and his anger. Every day, right, they're like these practices that he engages in that allow him to exude this kind of kindness. You know, he's asked by the journalist, what do you do like when you feel angry in these things? And he says, well, there's lots of things you can do. Play all the low notes on a piano. Boom, boom, right? Hammer a piece of clay. Talk about them. When you have these feelings, there's all kinds of ways that you can get them out rather than bottling them up. But it takes practice. It doesn't happen overnight. We do something over and over and over again, and it gets easier. And so Mr. Rogers doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose, right? So one of the practices that he engaged in a lot, and in fact, every awards show that he's ever a part of, when he received an award, he would do this very thing for the whole audience, for the whole TV audience, everybody. And it happens in the film, and it's taking a moment, 1 minute of silence. Okay? So I'm going to see, hopefully this will work. We're going to watch a clip from the movie, and I want you to do it. We're going to practice it together. The film, the scene itself is genius because it starts with a moment of silence that's focused on the journalist, and then slowly the camera moves around until Fred Rogers is looking right at you and right at me, right? As we take a moment to be uncomfortable together. This is the gift of Fred Rogers, the gift of uncomfortability, right? All right. So let me see if I can share my screen. Is that working? Can you see it? All right.
Oh, look at this. Thank you so much.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
you a vegetarian?
I just can't imagine eating anything with a mother.
Bill was right. You love people like me.
What are people like you? Never met anyone like you in my entire life.
Broken people. I don't think you were broken.
I know you are a man of conviction. A person who knows the difference between what is wrong and what is right. Try to remember that your relationship with your father also helped to shape those parts. He helped you become what you are. Would you do something with me, Lloyd? It's an exercise I like to do sometimes. We'll just take a minute and think about all the people who loved us into being.
I can't do that.
They will come to you. Just 1 minute of silence. Thank you for doing that with me. I feel so much better.
Oh, look at this. Thank you so much.
That is the slowest piece of 21st century cinema you will ever experience. And it is beautiful. Let's just take a minute and think of all the people who have loved us into being. I can't think of a better way to spend a minute. So, as much as I have a deep desire to like change the world or to do something grand, I think maybe the most courageous thing each of us can do is take the little way. It's smelling the spring air when you go outside and celebrating the horned owl and calling someone, telling them you love them, writing someone a note, sitting and being really present as you can be with your children, stopping to have compassion for yourself when you can't do those things, because the more you have compassion for yourself, the easier it is to extend that to other people. The moment I can have compassion on myself for my lack of patience with Nina, the easier it is for me to have compassion on her. It's just little flowers that we plant every day, not having any idea what they might do. And you do that for 40 years and you get Fred Rogers. So that's my prayer, is that each of us might take just the little way this week. So if you would pray with me, Lord, we are grateful to you and grateful for your grace, grateful that we worship a God who cares deeply about our emotional life and our emotional health. I pray, Lord, that we might slow down, that we might simplify, that we might get in tune with our emotions and our reactions and how we feel, and that we might find healthy ways to express those, to acknowledge those, to confess those, that we might do little things each day that display your love, that we might plant little flowers of sacrifice each day. We love you, Lord, and we pray for the grace and the strength to be faithful. Amen. If you would please join for our closing song.
And we'll be singing the Servant Song.